This is Yusuf.
And this is
In-Flight Entertainment. And we are in full swing with October. And what's happening October with us, General?
We are doing fright films or horror films. I'm just having fun with all the F's.
Freaking frightening
films.
Yes. Triple F's. So September, it was family friendly films. Now it's freaking frightening films.
And we are in our second film this month, which is the throwback classic Teeth. So normally I say what this movie is about, but I would like you to give us a short synopsis of this instead of me.
Okay.
Get the perspective of this film.
I can give you. Okay, let me see if I can freestyle a synopsis. The story centers around a teenager who vows to keep herself pure from sex until marriage, but little do she know she possesses something in her that will leave her doomed to that fate. In so many ways, that's correct.
Okay. So we'll come back to that. Yeah. So this movie came out in April of 2007. So what was happening in April 2007?
Stuff.
Do you have the top five films or the song or anything?
Okay, so let's do this. Tell me what you were doing in 2007, and I will have the top song and stuff like that.
Well, I was at a job where I was working between 80 and 90 hours a week.
Wow.
I was dating a surgeon who was doing his residency, and we only got to see each other about once a month. Huh. And I didn't have much of a life because all I did was work.
Okay. You're stacking up some chips because you were in New York at the time, correct?
I was in New York. I got to travel a lot for work. I think 2007, I think I got to go to the south of France, maybe Greece, maybe Argentina, all for work. So that was cool, but I was working way, way too many hours. And between 2004 and 2008, I like to joke that all my friends found a spouse, got married, had kids, and I just walked away with launching a couple products.
All right, you know, and it was products that the world needed.
Yeah, definitely improved people's lives.
Exactly. See, there you go. 2007.
What were you doing in
2007? Well, I was here.
Yeah,
because I moved to LA in 2005. So, yeah, I was just making short films and doing editing gigs. I was at a post house in Burbank for a little bit. Yeah, I was just still, you know, moving and shaking in LA, going to network events and all that. You know, the usual stuff you're supposed to do.
Right.
Yeah.
When you're in your late 20s, early 30s. Yeah, I get it.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Okay, so this is what was going down.
So if we included like cable TV, wasn't The Sopranos really big in 2007?
Sure. When did The Sopranos come out, by the way?
I'll Google that while you give us our list.
Okay, so the song that we were jamming to, Give It to Me, Timberland, in 2007. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I take that back. Sorry. Rewind it. It was Irreplaceable Beyonce.
Okay.
Yeah.
Seven was also sort of like the beginning of like all of the indie music. So I was definitely not listening to pop at this point in time.
So, I mean, 2007 indie music, like which indie songs were indie? Cause I always think of indie as like 90s.
Arctic Monkeys.
Okay.
Came out with their record. You had MGMT. You had Block Party.
Okay. Right on.
The White Stripes came out that year.
Really? 2007?
Well, they came out with a big record.
Oh, okay. Because they were around definitely early in the year.
Those are the
okay.
top
three
I can think of.
Okay, cool.
And like the following year, you had like Passion Pit and a lot of place things like that. A lot of Brooklyn bands.
Right on.
LCD Sound System was really popular in 2007.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good stuff. now, for our shows, 2007, so it was all competition shows in the top two, and pretty much, all right, so for 5-1, Dance with the Stars held down 5-4-3, and American Idol held down 2-1. So, yeah, it was all dance, all competition shows that we were just infatuated with.
It was the final season of The Sopranos in 2007.
Oh, okay. The infamous finale.
Yeah. Also, Arcade Fire and The National came out with big records in 2007. I mean, it was an indie year, mm-hmm. and we had some good cable TV shows. I don't know about all that reality TV shit because I didn't watch it, but yeah.
Yeah, me either. I wasn't really digging that stuff, but yeah, I was too busy at networking events. So this film, I mean, it stars definitely like unknowns. The lead character is Jess Wexler.
Yeah. Yeah. And some of the male actors are John Hensley. John Hensley, people might recognize him from Nip Tuck.
Yeah, the son, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a circumcision in the show.
Mm-hmm.
I think he went and did it himself. That was a episode.
I wasn't digging that episode. Yes. I was like, I knew he looked familiar. Yeah. So he one that really went on to, I guess, do stuff.
I think this is really all I've seen him in post Nip Tuck.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, that's a good point. All right. So this particular story. Okay. By the way, I would like to mention the score in this film is so good. It's so good.
It's like classic horror movie score. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's so Hitchcockian. Like, bravo. Who did that score?
As I was watching it, I watched it for the first time this week. Mm-hmm. And as I was watching it, I was like, yes, the music in this is perfect.
Yes. It's like, it's a little Hitchcockian. It's a little like Lynchian. I mean, it's a perfect mix, especially for like this kind of quiet, small town with all of this stuff boiling underneath it. I dug it.
So the movies we've picked for this week, I picked both of them. And the reason why I picked them was because like a long time ago in COVID world, maybe a month, maybe 2 months ago, I read an article and I have for the life of me, can't remember where both our Tuesday movie, which was Jennifer's Body and Teeth today, were depicted as the ultimate male horror movie, which is why I wanted you to describe the movie at the outset of this.
I didn't want to give anything away for it, because I'm sure this is kind of like one of those like indie kind of sleepers that if you've seen it or if you watch, you know, indie horror, things like that back in 2000, early 2000s, this is definitely one of the films that people talk about. It's like, oh, that movie Teeth. Oh, yeah, I saw that one. Like, it wasn't a huge mainstream hit, but it did grab a lot of audiences on, you know, more of the, you know, independent film level.
And it's like, I mean, personally, maybe it's because I'm a woman. I didn't feel that this was a horror movie, but I can see from a male perspective how this could be very terrifying. Because, so as you were saying, it's about a teenager that has agreed to save her virginity until she's married. And then she is sexually assaulted and discovers that she has teeth in her vagina. Which goes back to, like, if you Google vagina teeth for almost any culture, you'll get a different myth.
Right.
So it's definitely like based in mythology.
Right.
Because when the penis enters the vagina, it is as if the woman is devouring the man, and having teeth down there is just the ultimate devouring.
Yeah. And what is it? Another myth says, like, you know, it's like the man returning to where he, came from type situation. That's a very creepy and like Oedipal statement. Right. That I'm like, no, I don't know.
Right. So in the book, The Wimp Factor, Stephen J. Duquette also mentions that these myths express the threat of sexual intercourse poses for men who, although entering triumphantly, always leave diminished, which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah. Now that makes sense.
Right, in French, the orgasm is called the little death. So,
yep. Yeah. There you go. See, that makes a lot more sense. And so, you know, the film follows Dawn, who's the main character, and so the film opens up with, you know, it's just this couple like outside on the lawn, and we see these two kids, kind of this small blow up pool outside of the lawn. And within the scene, it's established that this man and woman, like, they're together, but they're not married. And the boy and girl that's in the pool, they're not related. And it's like, okay, the man and the woman, they're together, you know, and they have kids from different people or different spouses or different, you know, partners. And
yeah, it opens up on like a very 80s scene, like two divorced parents and their kids playing and them discussing building a family, or very Brady Bunch type of situation.
Right.
But with only kids.
Right. So this kind of sets up the dynamic between the stepbrother and sister throughout this whole like story. And the ultimate reckoning that must happen at the end of this movie.
Yes. The beginning is perfect because it does set up. It's a nice projection to the end of the movie, which is brilliant. And, you know, as little kids do, they sort of explore each other's bodies. And the little boy went a bit too far. And the girl's body protected herself.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get the nod or the yes, you can do what you want. He sexually assaulted her and her body protected her.
Exactly. No defense mechanisms, you know.
His finger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we flash forward to teenage Dawn in high school. And, you know, she's you know, she's kind of the mouthpiece of this, you know, this organization that teaches abstinence and, you know, like, you know, perfect circle is like you wear your ring, this ring, that is like a promise ring that everyone have, right.
You know. You're like married to Jesus until you marry your husband bullshit. So the beginning of the movie, I feel like I've tried to watch this movie multiple times, but the beginning of the movie with all the religious saving yourself for marriage bullshit always pisses me off. And so I don't think I, until this week, had watched it beyond the first maybe 10 minutes because of the religious stuff. And it reminded me of the movie It Follows, which is another horror movie. Initially, before I had seen the entire movie, I was thinking Teeth is all about sex before marriage, especially the way they set it up, and it's a bad thing. And It Follows is totally feels like a movie to me that is judging people that have sex outside of marriage or sex with lots of partners. And people should enjoy sex. Go do it if that's your thing.
Well, Jenna, you know... You know, especially like, you know, 80s horror, like late 70s, 80s horror was all about the repercussions of teenage premarital sex. You know, like Nightmare on Elm Street, you know, all those kids that go to the camp where Jason is, what they doing, they making out, they're about to do some more, they finish doing something and they get killed. So
Friday the 13th, if you have sex, you will die.
Exactly. Yes. So... Yeah, I mean, it's kind of following the trope.
But it's, I mean, to me, okay. I know our society still sort of frowns on sex outside of marriage, but, or teens having sex. They're going to do it. We should stop killing them in movies just because they go have sex. Embrace the body. See, this is what happens when your parents are hippies. And you have open and honest conversations about sex.
Yeah, which is good. You know, it cuts down the confusion factor.
Right.
Yes, exactly. I commend them 100%. So pretty much. All right, go ahead. Sorry.
So I was going to say, like, the beginning of this movie, I was like, it's another judgment on teen premarital sex bullshit. But as you get into it, it's not that. It is 100% commentary on men taking advantage of women and not recognizing the word no. So I thoroughly enjoyed this movie for that, after I got the religious bullshit.
And that's the thing. It's kind of like with movies like that, when you have this such an upfront type, like, overload of a certain point of view, you know it's being set up to be contradicted. That's why I was like, okay, I know it's going to subvert at a certain point because it's giving me, like, such an emphasis on a certain point of view. Like, okay, I'm hoping this movie is clever to subvert this. And most movies do, some don't. But like you were saying, when you watch further, it kind of it was a subversion of like what you was watching initially with, you know, her and her little friends and stuff like that. So that's what I call good writing.
because all her like male friends, she thinks are part of the same purity club because they're going to all these things with her. But it turns out they're just boys that don't understand the word no.
Yeah. And also, and I was kind of reading into this a little bit from like another angle. I think this is what makes this movie pretty unique is you can read in on a lot of societal things based off of a scene or a character's like reaction or something. Just like when they were in class and the teacher was like, okay, now we're done talking about the penis. And they're about to go to he couldn't even say vagina. And they put stickers over the picture of the vagina. So it's like, okay, so given as much knowledge and emphasis on understanding the female anatomy, you have by default this confusion, and you have this kind of primal curiosity, because you thinking you would get educated, so therefore you would know how to, go about it, right? It's just like all this stuff is just hitting from me that's I supposed to know, that they supposed to teach me, but it's like, no, I'm not going to even say the name of the gentleman.
Yeah. But also, like, it's a very nice commentary on our society is completely comfortable saying things like penis, dick. And that's very like a positive thing. Well, I guess dick is a positive term. But it's not a huge insult. If I say someone's being a dick, it is what it is. It's not a huge insult as if you were saying someone's being a pussy. So
Exactly. I mean, even though that is one of the strongest in the world.
Chrissy has trained you correctly.
Yeah, I mean, whole babies come out that thing. You got to respect it. I mean, if whole babies came out of the, our thing, then yeah, we'll probably faint and pass out. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so I kind of ran into like with that scene, and they're like, wait a minute, like, where's the picture of it? They're like, oh, well, we have to cover it up. And like you're saying, it's like that double standard of understanding. It's like, okay, you need to know the male genitalia. Like, you gotta like really get the knowledge, but if it's time to learn and understand female's anatomy, it's like, well, no, like we're just skim over. You don't even need to see it. We'll just kind of move on.
It also speaks to women are just there to take. They're not there to be pleasured. No. So that was also
part or of understood. Clearly. Yeah. Then you have that and the whole like play on, the myth of like, kind of like, if you read like old books, stuff like that, it's like the whole myth of women. It's like, the whole Adam and Eve angle, the whole like, the cycle, the menstrual cycle is almost kind of like how, a snake shed their skin like every 28 days. So that's like, that's like a menstrual cycle of a woman. So yeah, it's like reptilian. It's not human. So it's kind of like, to play on, the whole like mythical kind of villainous type imagery or imagination of like how a woman functions on a biological level. It was definitely a subversion and a play on all of that, but it was done cleverly well. And yeah, I think.
Yeah, agreed. It was censored in Italy. So apparently the masculine culture of Italy wasn't cool with this movie.
Of course not. Now that probably scared a lot of people, a lot of dudes. I gotta say, there were a few scenes of of the victims kind of getting their comeuppance that was pretty hilarious. I mean, and it was almost like some of those scenes were played to be funny.
There's a scene where a penis gets bit off, and there's a penis ring through the penis. The dog bit the penis. That was hilarious. Yes.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Yeah, and then and then there's a scene where she tried to get herself checked out.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the gynecologist sexually assaults her with his hand, and his fingers get cut off.
I think that was the funny. Because
the best part of this movie is in the credits. There's a line that says, "No man was harmed in the making of this film."
Yeah, it's very admirable. Mm-hmm. yeah, like I said, we're kind of like towing around the movie because, like, we don't want to, like, it, well, me personally, like, and I'm sure there are a lot of people that probably heard of this film and never or didn't get a chance to see it. It's definitely, you know, go in and see it. Like, go ahead and see it. Like I said, I don't want, and I'm definitely not going to, like, give away the last of the movie, the last act. But, okay, I guess we just go into the rating, right? So this is a non-family rating because Genoa came up with a family rating. So we're going to have Genoa revisit this and give us a Halloween rating.
Oh, I'm on the spot. let's just get our regulars, sit on the sofa. It's fine. Put on your shoes. You're not sure. Go outside and die from COVID for right now.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, we'll tweak it next week.
For me, you know, initially I was like, ugh, no, but it is definitely a sit on the sofa if you're into horror movies or movies that are sort of commentary on the male female relationship. It was pretty, it was fun.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. Yeah, it gets two buds down, especially if you're, you know, if you want to get outside of your regular horror, films that, you know, it's like, okay, what's the regular movies? Okay, The Thing, Halloween. It's like, if you want to, like, kind of step outside the box and watch something, you know, more on the independent level and, you know, and plays with, you know, interesting myths about, you know, women and stuff like that and subvert a lot of stuff. Definitely watch. It's worth the watch. If you're a horror, I'm sure if you're a horror fan, you've probably seen this before. But if not, yeah, give it a look. It's only an hour and like 30 something minutes. I mean, good horror movies shouldn't be like, no, I'm sorry. I take it back. It could be as long as it needs to be. But as long as it's done right. I was about to say, but then The Shining was like 2 hours. And, you know, that's a classic. But yeah, it takes as long as it's clever and done right. And I also would like to read a little excerpt from Roger Ebert because he gave it 3 stars. So he liked it.
Wow, I'm impressed he reviewed this.
Yeah, 2007. Yeah, he was still alive. May he rest in peace. This is the last answer. He said, the joke isn't so much that John Donne sports a gynecological snapper trap, but that guys will stoop so low to take advantage of her because they're such unprincipled horn dogs who won't take no for an answer. The movie suggests they deserve what they get. Still, when Don's first full frontal victim looks down to find he's not even half the man he used to be, he seems genuinely hurt, but the rejection as much as the castration and a bloody, nightmarish, young, romantic way is kind of touching. The great Roger Ebert, ladies and gentlemen. May you rest in peace. So, yes, Teeth, check it out.
Yes. So, we will continue to do horror movies because we're in the month of Halloween, or just Halloween based movies all month long. And yeah.
Yes.
And then we'll get into scary election movies in November.
Well, depending on how the election pan out. But yeah, so until next week, we wish everyone safe physical distancing in.
Please vote.
Yes, and wear a mask on the voting booth. Peace. Home alone.